Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying. Okay.
Can't have a burger without Megan Berg.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go Hilo.
And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Plus our super premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me this evening, that's right, we're recording at night, is my good dear friend, my favorite fellow podcaster who I spend hours and hours and hours with talking and traveling with. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rosebrook's Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben. What a lovely evening.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit, it's not quite evening for you anymore because you're in a different time zone than I am, right?
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm still in Austin, Texas, but now I'm trying to have some of my mic issues resolved by tying my microphone to my dad's desk lamp with my sock.
I like that. I like that. And by the way, you know, I heard that there's some terrible things happening in Austin tonight. So I hope it sounds like you're safe and sound. And I hope you continue to be safe and sound through this recording.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah,
some bombs world's going off. Hey, which world. Is just, yeah, world, stop it.
It would be great if you just chilled the fuck out already. My
yeah,
God.
What is happening over there? Just bombs? Like not just bombs, but meaning like,
well, it's like check what? Your mail, make sure you ain't getting fucking diseases sent to you in the mail, and bombs, and then veteran hospitals, and there's so much shit going on all over this world. The only reason I even know about this is because my mother is obsessed with, you know, the pain of the world. She has the news on all day. It's something blaring out. I've heard so much bad news today. She said, "Why are you wearing those things? You can't hear me talk when you have those things on." I said, "Because I cannot take the world, okay? I'm a sensitive, fat person. I need to be in my..." This is why, you see? This is why I eat Domino's. I just need to insulate myself. The world sucks, okay? And everyone, stop watching the news. Who cares? It's all going to shit anyway.
Yeah, it's terrible. But that's why we're here, because there's a lot of terrible shit happening in the world. And sometimes you just need a place to get away. Some place where everybody knows your name. And, of course, I'm referring to... Watch What Crappens.
Yeah, welcome to our Cheers podcast.
Sometimes you... welcome.
That yes. Carla, what a little...
That Carla. Fire. I'll tell you, just try to send her a bomb and see what happens. That's not going to work out so well for you, sir. No, I'm not saying...
What
please do not send...
To?
Please do not send any explosives to Rhea Perlman. That is not what I'm saying.
No, not Rhea Perlman. Carla. Because Rhea Perlman's probably lounging in a pool somewhere. She made her money. Okay, but Carla will take some terrorists down with her waitress tray. She'll be like whipping that shit all over like Xena's little disc.
Exactly. Well, this podcast does cover some Cheers adjacent qualities, aka Camille Grammer. But today we're talking about Vanderpump Rules. But before we even jump into that, next Saturday, March 24th, we are doing our very first ever show in Detroit, Michigan at the Majestic Theater. It's going to be amazing.
It is.
We have tickets that are still on sale, so everyone go get those tickets. I don't remember have we decided what we're going to be doing yet? Is that like, we or do we still have to, did we talk? I can't remember. There were so many conversations.
No, we didn't decide. We need to decide. It feels like it's so far away, and then boom, here it is.
Yeah, exactly. We'll announce something this week. We've thrown around some ideas privately between the two of us, but we haven't officially landed on anything. But in the meantime, get tickets. Don't wait for us to decide. Get tickets, because whatever it is, it'll be good. We'll recap. You know us, we like to go granular and go crazy over all our live show recaps. So like, even if it's like we're going to be recapping a fish tank at a store in Detroit, it'll be fun. So come.
And we will be doing another contest and like Crappin's Pride contest, because the one in Houston was just amazing. My Aunt Bridget took some amazing pictures. I'm just going to say amazing a lot.
Yeah.
She took, but they really are. They're so great, the pictures she took. I mean, she was gorilla style, all up in everybody's business, hanging up, you know, upside down from the stage like a monkey. Like, she was everywhere.
Yeah.
And we have so many pictures to go through and laugh at.
I can't wait to see them. I think actually I'm just going to propose that I think the hashtag Crappin's Cosplay, like, it just didn't stick with people's heads. So just use the hashtag Crappin's Live. That's the hashtag we use for our live shows. Just use that when you take pictures of your outfit, and we judge backstage before we go on stage, and we announce a winner on stage. Oh, and by the way, for those wondering, where is that Houston recording? Where is that show? Because I imagine all of a sudden, like, a bunch of like crazy old people are like, where is that show? We are going.
Yeah, they're all characters from a Simpsons bar.
Yeah.
Hey there.
What did you do at the recording of the show?
So, we're going to put it on Fridays. Friday's episode will be the Houston show. Just a warning, there may be some audio-ish, because we only received a partial recording so far from the venue. We're trying to hopefully get the rest of it. So the first half may sound like crap, and then it'll sound really good for the second half. So just bear with us. If you come to the Detroit show, you'll hear it in perfect quality. So that's the Detroit news. And then last thing, I know, so many housekeeping things, and I don't make it any easier because I talk a lot.
Hazel. I'm just sitting here. I'm like swiping through Instagram.
Do it.
When Ben pulls out the Swiffer, I pull out the Instabait.
Yeah. The last thing is, we have a board game giveaway you may have heard about. Giving away a board game called Castel by Renegade Games. We are asking people to make Photoshops of Bravo celebrities in a human tower. Because that's what the game is all about. So make those photos, put them on Instagram. They have to be on Instagram for them to be eligible. With the hashtags WWCrappins, hashtag Crappins Game, and hashtag Play Renegade. And then at us, at Watch Our Crappins, to be eligible to win. We're going to give it a winner on the 20th. So far, we've had a nice handful of submissions, and they're all super funny. So even if you don't want to do it, go look at the submissions, because they are pretty funny, and they kind of tell very interesting stories, and great work all around so far by people.
Yes, we'd love a good Photoshop.
Yeah. And that's about that for that. So why don't we move on to the pièce de résistance, none other than Vanderpump Rules.
Well, as the opening song of today's episode said, let's go, baby. Na 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 na. Let's go, baby. Na 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 na. Another win for Tim Rice at the Tony Awards, ladies and gentlemen.
Here to receive the honor is Alan Menken. That's great. Great work.
Na 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 na
na na na na. Let's go. Da da da. Remember the days of the Real World, the early seasons, when they would actually have songs you knew, like, to transition, and then all of a sudden, once record companies started charging more fees probably for using them, now we have this shit. Let's go. Na 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 na. It's only a matter of time before we hear, you know, what was that Ladies of London song? It was like, I don't want to be a girl, you're a girl, I'm a girl, you're a lady, I'm a lady.
That is pretty much how Bravo's going right now. So they just have some house band that they bring in, and they're like, well, we're not really sure what's going on, but Sheena's in a lot of the scenes, so just pick one syllable and repeat it 500 times.
Here comes the queen, here comes the queen, and guess what? The queen is me, the queen is me. That was my favorite.
Yeah, I think that's why I got so excited in the Houston show when we watched the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Dinner Party from Hell, because the music is just so good. You know, it's really so good. I mean, Vanderpump Rules, sometimes it just sounds like someone's turning the sprinklers on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's much like Camille Grammer did at the Dinner Party from Hell.
Maybe that's where they got the idea.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa, that was a fun scene. Let's just use the sound of that.
That's back in the day when Alan Lazar gave a damn about his music.
Oh, Alan.
Now he's just like, whatever, he has a royalty-free track by Trixie Monocle.
That's like the most creative thing I've ever heard about this music, that name of a fake band.
Trixie Monocle singing, let's go, let's go, let's go, na 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 na. Trixie Monocle.
So let's go over to Tom and Ariana's apartment.
Please. Please.
Ariana is...
They still have a Bossa Nova menu on their door, by the way. Nice product placement.
Oh, yeah, if you have 3 hours to wait for your food.
Yeah, seriously. Let's talk about that. Jesus.
Let's talk about the heat lamps in summer, Bossa Nova. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
You sons of bitches. God, I love Bossa Nova, too, man.
I actually don't love Bossa Nova, and I spent 9 years living really close to one, and I felt like, oh, my God, I'm going to grow to love this restaurant. It's going to be my spot, and I only went, like, 5 times in over 9 years.
Well, not going, but it was a very good drunk place to order from, and you know, after like improv shows and stuff, because pizza, French fries, and a blue cheese salad. I mean, can you beat that at 2 a.m, 3 a.m?
Yes.
Unfortunately, it would show up, you know, before closing, and it was like some sad Brazilian guy who couldn't find the place on his bike. I'm like, I would feel for you, but I can't. Okay, you're keeping me from my blue cheese and fry salad.
Something about this anecdote is reminding me to tell you something that's very important. One of our listeners, who's a friend of mine, I'm going to keep her anonymous, but she was at some place today, and she saw Patti LuPone, and Patti LuPone was wearing sunglasses indoors.
Of course. Patti LuPone parties hard still, girl. She ain't gonna, she's not wearing them to be an asshole like Erica Jane. She's wearing them because she needs them, okay?
Yeah, yeah. So I just felt like that was a really good omen for all of us.
It is. That is a really... You know what? Thank you for telling me that.
Now, what would happen if Patti LuPone sang the Trixie Monocle song?
Let's go, baby. Na 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 na
na na na na na na. Let's go.
Na na. She'd end on a na. Yelling in my parents' house at 1:30 in the morning. You know, these are good people that raised me.
That is, they are good people. So anyway, so now, like, as fun as it is to harp on the menu that's wedged in Tom and Ariana's door, we should probably move forward. So Ariana, she's getting ready. She's mentally preparing herself because she's going to go get some laser hair removal from her hoo-ha, from her vagina that she's learning to love, much like me and the oeuvre of Trixie Monocle. So she's nervous.
Trixie Monocle, Ariana's goal vagina. Just
monster. I feel like Trixie Monocle was like in an Albanian girl group with Bebe Rexha, and then Bebe Rexha like went off and became like, I don't want to say Bebe Rexha went off and became famous, but she became like someone.
And also the girls from Pussy Riot. Like, Trixie Monocle is the one who's like, I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to jail, okay? You guys can rot in prison riding with your pussies.
I'm going to collaborate with Bebe Rexha. I'm going to collaborate with Bebe Rexha. And Bebe Rexha is like, you left your girls behind. Guess what? I'm leaving you behind, Trixie Monocle. I'm going to L.A. and I'm going to guest on G-Eazy songs. And now Trixie Monocle is like, fine, I'm going to make my own way.
Yeah, Trixie Monocle is now writing vagina songs for Ariana's pre-scenes. You see? It all comes full circle. So thanks a lot, Trix.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's like, I'm really dreading that laser hair thing. You have to shave really close. And Tom's like, whoa, really? I would think they'd have you grow it out. Really, why? Why would you think that?
I would have thought that, too. I don't know anything about laser hair removal. And he's like, I was like, that way you can have like a path, dude. Like that way the laser can follow the path. And Ariana's like, no, that's not. You go for the follicle, not for the hair. He's like, dude, doesn't smell like burning hair. She's like, only if you don't shave it, Tom. See how this works, Tom.
Like the next brush fire is started by Tom, who didn't know that he was supposed to shave his hair before he went in for laser hair removal. It's like, and LA's on fire again, everybody. Thank you to Tom Sandoval.
So Tom now is waxing poetic, waxing nostalgic, I should say. No pun intended, waxing on his Vegas trip. He's like,
that Vegas trip was awesome. Like, that was probably one of the best trips I ever took, dude. There weren't even, like, big trucks I could drive and, like, construction vehicles I could go over mountains with, dude. I was like, hey, Vegas trip, which do you think is better, you or my Mexico trip? Which one, Vegas? Which one?
It's just everything's competing with each other in Tom's world.
Yeah, so basically he's just sort of like recapping. He's just saying how he had a really nice time, even though like he and Tom got sent to the metaphorical kids table when they were meeting with Lisa and Nick Allen in Las Vegas. Because he's the overeager, dude.
You deserved it.
Can I see your vagina? Hey, have you ever seen that movie Over the Hedge? Let's do it, but with your vagina.
She's like, ugh. Tom. So the next song in the lineup for Vanderpump Rules is, I'm not sure if it said Superstitious Love or Super...
It sounded It sounded like, I actually didn't write it down, but when you say it, I did think like superstitious, interesting. It's like, it said something about superstitious.
Yeah, it was like superstitious love or like super silly. I don't know. It was like some word. I was like, is that a big word? Yeah, I don't know.
Super something?
I don't know. And I just want to say publicly that I'm sorry I failed you guys.
That's
okay.
You know, listen, Trixie Monocle, she writes, her stuff is often impenetrable. Like the meaning is not there. At first glance, you have to really think about it.
Yeah, she just puts one word that you have to think about, and the rest are just vowel sounds.
She just lets it. She lets that one word shine, and you have to think about, okay, how does this word relate to all these sounds? What's the narrative here, and is it convenient?
Well, I don't know. We're talking about narrative, but we're on a Raquel scene, so yeah. Good luck. I'll just let you take the wheel for this one, Jesus.
Yeah, so basically James is over by the pizza oven. It's clearly see you next Tuesday. And he's like, wiki, 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 wiki. And Raquel's there. And then James goes, I'm putting on my jacket so my dad thinks I'm more smart. I'm like, well, you can start by stop saying more smart.
He's like, his dad is Andros, and he comes in, and I immediately wanted to give him a nickel. Immediately. And I don't really give to people, but I felt for this guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you took care of George Michael. Well, not took care of him. I mean, you know, helped him, I don't know, manage him, whatever he did. Whatever they're claiming he did with George Michael. You did that. Like, you did all this stuff. Dude, dental. Dental.
Listen, he's
always
British.
Dental first. Take care of your teeth first.
When you're British, it's like, I feel like it's almost like a red badge of courage to have teeth that go in different angles. You know, that's just the way it is. It's like, you made it this far. Like, let the teeth tell the story.
And they're telling one.
Yeah.
They're telling one, and it made me feel really bad for James and also apples.
The fruit or the computer?
Well, both. You never know with this one. He probably has been chewing on some MacBook Airs. Good Lord, man.
He has this, Andros has this look on his face like he's about to go get wasted and yell at a soccer team on TV, you know? He's like, oh, is that what you call goal? Thanks a lot for nothing, graphing Manchester United.
Yeah, and he's only doing that until James will get off work and take him down to the fucking horse betting center.
Yeah, there was something tragic. I mean, look, speaking of horses, he bet on a horse, and it was George Michael, and, you know, George Michael was great, but, I mean... Didn't really.
No, leave. I need to hear the end of your George Michael horse metaphor.
Okay, so here's the end of the George Michael horse metaphor. The horse left the track and went wandering down the highway and then died of exhaustion. Poor horse. It was my favorite horse. I loved that horse. I was an ardent supporter of that horse, but maybe, I don't know, makes me wonder, I don't know. It makes me wonder what will happen. Well, I think Andros and PK have to get together, like the story of the George managers and rise up.
Oh, good luck with that. I'm hoping for you guys because I really like James, kind of, mostly, some of the time, when he's not abusing people.
Yeah, I didn't like him. And I didn't like him in Big Bear. I sort of was like, nah.
I know. Well, he's like that. You know, you go back and forth.
Well, he's a complicated character. So James sees his dad's like, keeping it gangster, gangster. And Andros is like, London gangster. And he immediately sounds like someone who should be a Mad Max, actually. Like, his voice is like, he should be like, anti-entity, two men enter, one man leaves. Two men enter, one man leaves.
I feel like he should be selling children in Oliver Twist.
Both, could be doing both. An Oliver Twist, Mad Max, Oliver Max. Mad Oliver.
Please, sir, can I have some more? More. Okay. So he's like, he managed George Michael. It was a musical house I grew up in. There was music playing in every room. I'm like, I don't know if having like multiple tape recorders growing up really makes you a musical sensation, but
yeah,
I'll wait until I see Adele's biography before I make that judgment. Like, I go to Ross Dress for Less a lot. It doesn't make me like you too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Raquel's like, I was just telling James that I feel like I've already met you before. I'm like, poor thing. She talks to photographs, doesn't she?
The dad's like, I feel like I've met you too before, honey.
He's just seen like a roll of toilet paper. And he's like, Raquel? Oh.
Last time I saw you, you were toasting bread.
She's a toaster. Last time I saw you, you were telling me it was 12 o'clock.
Last time I saw you, you were saying 67 degrees Fahrenheit. She's just a thermostat.
Last time I saw you, the turkey was done.
I have a feeling this is another time we're just looking around our desk.
It's like, last I'm trying time I saw not
you,
to.
The yellow light was blinking because you couldn't hook up to the Wi-Fi. She's in Airport Express in my dad's office.
Last time I saw you, you were a little thing keeping moths off your clothing, your little plank of cedar, weren't you?
Bless her heart.
So, that's probably the most accurate one. That's the sad part.
I think that now would be like a really good time to go to commercial because like Rob is so good at commercials and like he can do them in like 7 minutes or less. It's like amazing.
This is the sad part. The dad tells James, he goes, what do you drink? I mean, come on. Has it been that long?
Yeah, James
doesn't know what he drinks.
James was so nervous. He's like, Dad, I drink vodka. And then Raquel's like, James, you're not drinking tonight, are you? He's like, no good. No, I'm not. I mean, Dad, I mean, when I do drink, it's vodka, but I'm not drinking tonight. I mean, it's see you next Tuesday tonight. It's my big night. I'm by the pizza oven tonight, Dad.
In front of the pizza oven, little pepperoni ass. And Raquel is funny. I mean, not funny, but it's sweet that she's trying to keep him on, you know, on the straight and narrow. And James mm-hmm. can't decide what to do. Your dad doesn't even know what you drink, dude. By the way, the answer is a lot. Mm-hmm. So James is like, my dad doesn't understand. He doesn't understand why I get crazy when I drink. He's like, duh, you're a DJ. You drink. That's what DJs do. Actually, no, sir. DJs have a lot of organizational skills, mm-hmm. okay? A lot of button pressing and a lot of memory work. They don't just show up to work drunk, okay? Yeah. George Michael's manager.
Some DJs don't have the luxury of just pressing play on their iPod and then doing a little dance for their dad. Some DJs actually have to mix things beyond a crossfade.
What did Raquel say to him right after this? She's like, how about that? That's all I heard her say, and I rewound it.
I think she said, dung, 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 dung.
The time is... I like when she's a door chime and... okay, I'm sorry. So she said something to him, and he's like, Dad, I'm not drinking tonight because I'm working. You get it. Work. Get it. Like, because he's cockney now.
Yeah.
He's entered into his cockney phase of the conversation. And Raquel goes, James, did you hear me? And then he presses play on the music. Bitch, no one heard you, okay? He presses play and starts dancing around. And he goes, I did hear you, love. And she's like, thank you, James. It's a little validation, you know? I was like, you're like a parking ticket.
She just wanted to let him know that her water filter needs to be changed. James, it's time to order a new one.
She's a parking ticket left by the water fountain at the Grove, and some poor person is trying to get out the gate and has to pay $20 just to move.
Exactly. But you know what, though? She's worth it. She's worth the full fare, isn't she? Not really.
First hour's free.
So, upping the British quotient on this scene is Lisa Vanderpump herself, who walks and is like, hello, Miss Billy, how are you?
And Billy Lee just gives her her glorious Swanson eyes, and she's like, good, doing good.
That's Billy Lee's laugh. I'm workshopping it. But you know, have you noticed that Billy Lee, she has like this like little thing like, oh my god.
She does like, no.
Oh, Lisa. No, you're crazy.
Don't you have menus to wipe, ma'am? Also, Lisa Vanderpump, I really love that she's on this trans journey, but she's still not quite like sure what to say. She goes,
you're looking very chipper. Is that okay? Is that term okay? Can you Google that for me? Can
So Lisa sees Andros, and she's like, oh, well, the last time I saw him was at the south of France, George Michael and such and what and such. So they've known each other for a while, but, you know, they haven't seen each other for years and years because he's made more of Ken's associate. So that's basically that. It's like, hello, hello, British, British.
Yeah, he was quite the man about town. You know, if that was a woman, she'd be like, she was a whore.
Yeah.
We had to quarantine the entire plane when we landed with Andros from the south of France.
He's and, like, I don't imagine you've seen my long lost child Cedric, have you? It's like, oh no.
You, I've had hysterical blindness. Where am I? Chipper, come over here, Chipper, and help me, Chipper.
Help me, take me to the eavesdropping table. This is no fun.
I need to get to table 11 as soon as possible.
So now we go to Lala and Brittany and Sheena at Hooters, and Lala's like, hi, baby, which is like new. Lala's new thing is that she says hi to people by like essentially closing her nose and making weird noises. Hi, Rini, ring, 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 ring. I'm like, it sounds like my old Epson computer. I mean, printer.
Hey, bing. So it's Sheena. So it's like a whole bunch of Sheena sounds, basically. You've got Lala over there doing that. Britt's like, hey, there's buffoons! And Sheena's like, meh.
This place reminds me of Rob because he always says I'm such a hoot. Get it?
Rob loves my Hooters. I can tell. Like, he makes me feel like he does. It's number 7. Okay, it's number 7.
Do you think they have filet mignon? You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
It doesn't say filet mignon on the menu at Hooters, but I know they have it. Like, I can just feel they want to give it to me.
So Brittany brought balloons that say 38, was a 3 and an 8, and she's like, you should make it say 83. And you just know that there was like a tense moment where Brittany was like,
but it does say 83. Wait a second, when I stand on this side, it says 83, but on that side, it says 38. What is happening?
I've never been good with geographies.
So she goes,
I know everybody keeps asking me why I like these parties for JX. But, you know, my mama told me if I'm going to go through with it, I got to put myself 100% into the relationship.
And not dwell on the past.
I'm like, that's great. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, if that really applies when someone fully cheated on you and, like, then has treated you like garbage ever since. Like, it's your fault.
Yeah, if you could put the medication in the past, you can put Jax in the past. But I think when you go, like, on a lifetime of pills, mm-hmm. you don't have to forget the sins. If you still have to take the pills forever, then you can still harp on the sin forever. That is my new rule. New rule. Thank you.
So Stassi, Katie, and Schwartz show up, and Stassi's like, as a reminder, AF... when Jack cheated on me, I threw out all his material, all his like belongings, drank all his crystal, burned his car up, cut off his genitals until he had to sew it back on himself, and then drove a knife through his eyeball, you know? And she's like, but Brittany throws him a party. I guess we're just, that just shows how we're different, you know? It's like, yeah.
Also, I ran over a cat and started a house on fire. I mean, that had nothing to do with Jack's, but it was really fun. Really fun.
So then Jax finally arrives and he's like, this is the perfect birthday for my inner child. Nothing better than turning 38 and going to Hooters.
I thought that was funny that they cut right from him talking about turning 38 and sweating all over the place to Stassi and the girls talking about how having big boobs makes them have under boob sweat.
Yeah.
It's like these editors are really shifty men. So Stassi's like, I get under boob sweat. Like, small boobed women do not understand the struggle. And Katie's like, I could hold a pencil under there. I'm like, you're so nice to yourself, which I love about you, you know? And Stassi's like, I could hold a family of brats.
Brittany is like, I held all my regrets.
Firstly, I hold my iPad and an M&M in my belly button. I just did it last night. Works like a charm.
The permanent M&M. We should mention the fact that Jax first went to Hooters when he was 15, and his dad brought him to Hooters when he was 15, and he's loved it ever since.
I mean,
some origin story. Yeah.
Yeah, it's impressive that it took till 15. Of course, that's probably right when they opened.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
His dad probably took him up to the bowling alley to grab the asses of cocktail waitresses up until the Hooters open.
Yeah, exactly. So Sheena pulls Jax aside and she's like, I want to talk to you about something. Like, so, you know, like, apparently you've been telling people that, like, Rob Valletta doesn't really love me, which is kind of crazy because we already have a child, Madison Marie Parks Valletta. Maybe you haven't heard of her yet because she's, like, great. Anyway, like, why are you telling people that he doesn't love me? Because, like, obviously he loves me because I tell him I love him.
And Jax is like, has he said he loves you yet? She's like, yeah. He goes, well, he told us a different story, that's all. And I can prove it because he saved my life that day, so he can't lie to me.
<She's> like, we both want to say it, but too timid to say it.
Yeah, he said verbatim, I'm not in love with Sheena. He said that.
And then she made this face.
Yeah. I sort of half expected her to pick up like a magnifying glass and hold it up to her eye, like, hey, come shoe. But, so Jax is finally, like, he starts backpedaling me, like, well, I mean, I don't know, whatever. So I was like, you know, she's like, you know, we're just, like, maybe not the sort of, like, couple that says I love her at the end of a conversation, but, like, that makes it more meaningful. I'm like, every single scene we see of you is you saying I love you to him, like, in the beginning, middle, end of the conversation.
And then him asking if the dog is shit yet. Like, it's, like, that's literally has been his response before Sheena. And also,
smile.
Like, how she... Hey, where's my smile? You seen it, Rob? You seen it? I love you, Rob. He's like, oh. He's like crushing her smile in his hand like it's like a stress ball. So she, I love how she worded that because she goes, like, we're not the kind of couple to like do that whole I love you routine. But I love that Tina to Sheena is just like skipping a tap class.
Yeah. That makes like the tap class that you go to more meaningful.
Yeah, there's much more things to talk about, much more important things to talk about. Like, you know, like what kind of plastic to cover the instructions he left me to clean his cabin while he takes a nap.
I really think that Woody Allen should have renamed the movie Everybody Says I Love You, except for Rob, because he's just not that kind of person. It's like more meaningful when he says it only once in a while.
Yeah, that show, like if Rob wrote that show, it'd be called Everybody Raymond.
It's like that song Love Is All Around. I would change it to like Love Is All Around, although Rob doesn't always vocalize it because it's more meaningful when he doesn't.
The Beatles show in Vegas would just be called Blank.
I think that like that one movie about like Christmas should be called Love Sometimes, and it's basically like Rob sometimes says I love you, but actually he doesn't always say it. It actually should be called Love Sometimes Actually. That actually makes so much more sense.
Comma actually.
That French so movie, Parish à Tem, it should really be called Parish Just Sometimes Tem.
She goes,
we are going to get married.
And he goes, that's what I'm saying. That's all. Right there, what you just said. I mean, that's all. That's all I'm saying, Sheena. That's it. She's like,
okay, we're going. You're coming with me, person I didn't take a note on. You're coming with me, and we're going, and that's it. Happy birthday, pitchfork!
That's what I wrote. What did she say? Happy birthday what?
I don't know. I thought I just heard her say happy birthday. I don't remember. I don't remember what she said there. But I think pitchfork works. It's sort of devilish. So everyone starts eating their wings. It's like everyone like goes after their wings. Free food, you know. Free food trumps any goals for a summer body. Everyone's like, wings, wings, dip, wings, wings. So they're
I didn't know that they did buffet style at Hooters. I mean,
it's a classy establishment.
I'm kind of impressed that they have Schaefer dishes there.
Yeah. You know, guys. It was very impressive. Well, to be fair, Brittany probably bought them all. She's just like, we're going to set up a buffet. I'll pay for everything. He cheated on me, so I'll pay for the buffet. So,
yeah, they ran out of Sterno, so Brittany's just burping in front of a lighter.
Yeah. So the Toms got Jax a romper as his birthday gift, but they got themselves rompers too. And so there was like a whole scene of them like getting into their rompers and walking out and being like, oh my God, rompers. I don't know. I don't remember if I've gone on this rant or not. I probably have. I feel like the male romper, the bromper, whatever it's called, it's like not like the biggest affront to masculinity. I'm like, it's like not a big deal. I think it actually looks fine. And I think that there are a lot of things that straight guys wear that look a lot worse than a romper.
Oh God, short skin tight pants. I can't with those.
Ed Hardy, affliction. Oh, that's all worse than a romper.
Yeah, my papa wore a romper because he owned a gas station. So I always think of a romper as being like some dude with a lot of tools in his garage. He just, you know, hides in the tool shed so he doesn't have to deal with nagging.
I really do feel like the gay panic that surrounded the male romper when it came out was like so outsized to like what the actual outfit was. It looks fine. I mean, if you're, look, a guy can wear like overalls, like short overall shorts, you know, and like no one bats an eye. It's like almost the same thing, just have more up
top. Yeah, but when they came out on the runway, they were like silk, you know, they were like shiny silk with like delicate buttons, and they, you know, they looked crazy.
Well, they also
actually made them, of course, they look like they're made by Old Navy, you know.
Well, because the thing is that when the romper thing came out, I think it was last summer, it was like part of this Kickstarter that was like very much like wink wink, look, we put bros in rompers, look at that, that's so funny. So it was sort of like built on this idea that like this is the stupid, like, look at the stupid thing. It was like a Snuggie or something like that. You know, just like this, how crazy, this cult appeal. Whereas the truth is, if it had just come down the pike from, like, normal fashion, people would have been like, oh, cool, this is, like, really hip and cool. I don't know why I'm defending the romper so much. I just don't feel like it's, like, the worst thing in the world. I just feel like we've seen so many worse things.
Like being sprayed with champagne when you have to drive from downtown. Hope you don't get pulled over, sirs. So the next song is Don't Run Away, Don't Run Away, You Won't Get to Do Amazing Things.
Unless the amazing thing is like doing an Olympic tryout for track and field.
That's just a line that they picked up on Mike when Jax was in the bathroom fighting with Brittany. It's like, don't run away, you won't get to do amazing things.
This poor cast just waiting to do amazing things at Sir. Lisa's like, don't run away from Sir. You get to do amazing things. Chef Joe added a cabbage soup. Isn't that amazing? You get to present it.
Did you not see me instruct that woman to take the chandelier up 2 extra inches? Would you like me to do it again?
If you had run away, you never would have seen the new chair upholstery. Hashtag amazing things.
Don't you remember when we had that generator powering the entire restaurant? Let's all do some generator-y-okey.
Generator-y-okey. Don't run away. Uh-oh. Anyway. So now we're at, speaking of, you might do amazing things, we're at Kristen Carter's apartment, where Kristen is just like, I'm at the stove. And Billy and Stassi show up. And Billy's like, I brought some gluten-free and vegan brownies and bread. And I'm like, okay, so you brought crumbs because nothing is holding together that bread. I've seen it. Listen, I'm going to shade it. I will shade it. People have tried to get me to... I've tried my fair share of vegan donuts. I've tried my fair share of gluten-free breads and whatnot. They taste fine. But let's be honest, compared to real bread, they're shit. I'm saying it. I will stand up for the romper. I'm not standing up for gluten-free vegan bread.
Drop a lot of gluten-free rompers, damn it.
There, I said it.
Listen, I've tried.
So Billy's like, I only had 2 beers, I swear.
Sounds like Monica Salas.
I just feel like Dorit when I do that.
That's what you and Stassi. Sorry, I'll just be Billy laughing in the background of the scene.
And Stassi's like, don't worry, I don't judge alkies. She's like, ah, I'm not an alcoholic, I swear.
So Stassi is singing Billy's praises. She's like, you know, like, now that I've gone to meet Billy, like, I've never met anyone like her. I've never met, like, I've been friends with, like, a trans person. And, like, there really is, like, nothing bad I can say about her at this moment in time.
Yeah, she's like, right now, one word I would use to describe Billy is... Chipper, probably.
She said chipper AF.
Start sweeping West Hollywood. I stand for chipper rights. So Billy is... I don't even know what I'm talking about. And yes, I did hear the thud that landed with. And I don't care, I stand by it. So she tells the girls that she is going on a date with Jeremy, tomorrow. And Kristen's like, oh, stovetop. Oh, God. Maddox.
Stovetop. Oh, God.
And then we see a clip of him, and he's like, hey, want to go on a date? No, he's like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? She's like, well, you know, work, yoga. Ah!
And so Kristen's like, I mean, you're going to a public place, right? Sorry, I was trying to do your laugh.
Like a restaurant? And so, where do you think he's asking her to go? He's like, would you like to go to a date, on a date, in a cave? Behind a parking lot. It's like, Jesus, Kristen.
So Stassi's like, he's a little creepy. And then we see this footage of Jeremy creeping on Stassi at the wedding. He's basically like, I'm not trying to hit on you tonight. She's like, get away from me, AF. There's Taco Bell to be had, you know?
Yeah, he's hugging her really hard. Like, I'm not hitting on you, Stassi. I'm not hitting on you. And she's like, that was creepy AF.
Yeah.
And like, and then she's like, when I was at the wedding, blah, 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 being really creepy. Hold on, let me pass. Well,
we don't are you lost? I don't want to disorient you. I can build a laugh and find yourself.
She says, he wouldn't leave me alone, and it just gave me this creepy feeling in my stomach that wouldn't go away. And then she's like, and then he went around at the wedding, like, poking everyone, like, poke, 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 poke. And I'm like, you know what? If this is what the world is coming to, I don't want to be a part of it anymore. Yeah. Now I can't poke people at weddings. What the hell am I supposed to go to a wedding for? I can't do anything at a wedding.
Yeah, so Stassi and Kristen are basically like, yeah, he's just always looking for ass. So, and he's like, well, that's fine because I'm just like looking to get fucked. So, like, it's fine with me. They're like, okay, well, fine. Then have fun, you know, like, whatever.
She's like, you're scaring me. They're like, sorry. She goes, kidding. So Sheena and Brittany go to lunch, and Sheena is now mad at Jax, obviously, for saying that Rob didn't say that he loves, or Rob said he loved her, but he's not in love with her.
Yeah.
Which Sheena will never let go of. She's from the Lisa Vanderpump School of Revenge, except she's really, really bad at it. Okay. She's so obvious at what she's doing. So she's like, hey, Brittany, I brought you to a place where they serve things out of jars. Brittany's like, wow, thank you. What a good idea. You know, back home, we use Jiffy plastic jugs, but never a jar. I've never thought of this. Hey, it says Mason on it. Is there a Mason here? I think I stole your drink.
Actually, it's Madison Marie Parks Valletta, not Mason. But if we have a boy, he'll totally be named Mason. What are your kids going to be named? Jiffy and Skippy.
Jax wants to name a PB2, but I said, what are they, a robot in Star Wars?
So Sheena's defending Rob. Rob wouldn't say that. I know he's in love with me. And then Brittany, of course, is saying, and then she asks Brittany how she's doing with Jax. Like, Brittany's like, well, we're actually doing a lot better now. It's been a lot better. It's been really good. And Sheena's like, yeah, but I want you to be like this. And she just points at her face, which I think was, she was trying to say, like, be happy and in love. But instead, I was just like, she wants you. You want her to look like something out of a fun house, like something just like, she's like, totally disturbing.
I want it to feel like a really good dental overlay. You know, it fits. Look at my smile. You're not smiling right now. Damn it! I love you.
I want you to look like this: a girl who just had some filet mignon. Someone who's been recently playing games.
So she's like,
I love that you're happy, but I want you to be this happy. I'm just saying there are options, and a lot of people ask about you.
They're like, why is that girl wearing her pajamas? Why is that girl wearing an open robe to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
It counts. That counts.
So Sheena's texting with this guy, Adam, who's like the new hot guy at Sir. And I can attest this, because remember when that one time I randomly had, like, I met up with Stassi for happy hour, this famous story that I like dig up every 2 weeks. So, and when I was there, I remember I said Sheena came by and was like, I have to go to the Apple Store, you know? So, because her iPad wasn't working, she was with this guy, Adam. And I can tell you in person, it's like astounding. I was like, how is this person? Is this person a human right now? He's so hot. It's ridiculous.
And why is he holding a 19-inch iPad? Like, Sheena's so little. I imagine her carrying around that iPad Pro. I imagine it just looking like an iMac. Like, just a huge...
Hi, just playing a little Candy Crush. Ow, my face! Ow, my face.
I crushed a candy.
Oh my god, Brittany, someone has a crush on you. They're talking about you. Oh, wait, it's Candy Crush. Still, though, counts. It counts.
So, Brittany is typical Brittany. She's like,
my goal is for Jax to be who he is when we have fun together, which means when they're wasted,
which is pretty much the opposite of everybody else's problem on this show. It's like she can only be happy with Jax when he's wasted. It's when he's sober that he's a miserable sack of shit. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Other problems, we go over to Tom Tom. Because, oh, and by the way, Sheena's whole thing is that she wants to set Brittany up with Adam. Even though Brittany's in a relationship, even if it is dysfunctional, she's still in a relationship, but Sheena wants to lure Brittany away from Jax with Adam.
Oh, God. And she's like, maybe Adam will be the guy to treat her like a princess, like Rob treats me. And I started writing, that is such bullshit. But then I thought, you know what? Cinderella had a to-do list. So, you know, maybe... Maybe Sheena's goal isn't that sad.
Yeah, exactly. So over at Tom Tom, there's like a little backhoe or something digging a hole out back. And inside the
bar... Hey, am I supposed to be in the back or the front?
Sorry, I'm out of my mind.
The Tom Tom, the bar is like a disaster because it's like being renovated and there's like holes in the floor and mounds of dirt. And Tom Schwartz is wearing sandals. And, you know, Lisa's like, why are you wearing sandals? It's dangerous. You'll hurt yourself. You'll get tetanus. He's like, don't worry. I've been friends with Jax a long time. I get my shots every month.
Design, 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 design. You learn the language of design, like the language of love, which I learned from Ken. Once a year on his birthday, get it, design, sex, joke, mixture. Oh. Here's what I want. Drinks. We'll take drinks and we'll put our own spin on them.
I'm like, you mean add more juice and then change the name to your last name? That's not putting a spin on it. It's called watering down the drinks, Lisa Vanderpump. Okay?
Yeah. She tells them like to get like, I want you all to go to lots of bars, pick your favorite drinks, bring them all here. We'll decide which are the ones that are going to be on the bar program. And Tom's like, all right, dude, this is what we got to do. We got to set up, we'll have like a, we'll put up like a bar here. I'll have like a well here and like a fridge here and ice bucket here. And Lisa's like, now relax, broken bar bird. Ken's built more bars than you've had hot dinners, and I'm talking exclusively about the ones you've had at Sir.
He's like, look, you know, I get it. Lisa's like the pro, okay? But here's one thing. Here's one thing. I want to incorporate dry ice into my drinks, okay?
Lisa's like, I don't get it. Isn't ice inherently dry as it is? Because the moment it gets wet, it means it's melted and it's water. Can water be wet?
Can!
Things that have water on them are wet, but can water itself be wet? Philosophical questions.
The master. Oh, Ken's gotten stuck in the street digger hole. Ken.
Let's ask the master. Luckily, I'm married to him, and I get all that water advice for free.
Water's not dry, it's actually wet, and then you freeze it, it gets really cold, it goes and drinks.
There! He said it. We're going to put frozen ice into drinks. We're going to call it ice pumps.
Tom, seriously, put on some shoes.
So Sheena and Lala are together. Lala's coming over to Sheena's house.
I'm with Billy.
And Billy's like,
he's like, oh, is that your new name for me?
I love Billy. She's like, oh my god, is that a drink? Can we have a drink? I want a drink. Can we have a drink? Right after they had the conversation about I'm not an alcoholic. Yeah. And she's like, I'll make us drinks, but before I do... I was like, oh my god, she's going to make them clear out the cup holder parts of those bar lounges. She's learning from Rob.
I've got a binder, and this... We have to clean up this apartment for people staying at Airbnb. Like, you put your place on Airbnb, he's like, no. But I like to imagine people are coming in.
I just want to text it to Rob so he knows that I'm still paying attention.
So they're picking clothes for her for their date, for her date, you know.
Yeah.
Let me see. Sheena goes, they're perfect for each other, Billy Lee and Jeremy Maddox are perfect for each other. Like, they both work at Sir. They both smoke weed.
And they're perfect. Both they're both assigned to clean the sink at my apartment tomorrow. Yeah. 3 p.m. sharp, please.
So Billy tells them in that Stassi and Kristen were like, that Jeremy's a little creepy, and Billy tells them, like, yeah, apparently they said that Jeremy's tried to date everyone, and Sheena's like, he never tried to date me, and Lana's like, yeah, he never tried to date me, which I thought was like, I feel like that's like
proof.
It's
proof. There it is.
It's there it is. Yeah. Did not, like, he didn't ask Lala out because maybe she talks about my man all the time. And Sheena, because it's Sheena.
Sheena was married to Shay. What is he supposed to do?
Oh, yeah.
Also, I think from what I remember from what they said in the earlier scene, wasn't Stassi saying that he was hitting on everybody at the wedding? He was going around poking everybody on the shoulder or whatever at the wedding?
Right. I think, I mean, this is weird. I mean, far be it for me to, like, jump into the mix of this crazy situation. But I got the impression that he was just being, you know, like, he was, like, drunk and, like hitting on people at the wedding. And now, though, Billy has gone and told his women, made it sound like it was a complaint about Jeremy overall. Although, to be fair, I will say this. To be fair, all these guys have done shit like this at weddings or events before and have not been given the label of creepy. I mean, Jax.
Jax, Tom number two, James. James fucks Kristen.
James is very much, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff that happened off the show that was in all the blogs, like with arrests and all this other stuff with Jeremy, which I haven't even read about yet, but I saw that people were posting them today. So I think there might be stuff off screen that they're maybe alluding to but not talking about, but it's weird because from what they're bringing up on the show, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not sure how mad we're supposed to be yet.
Yeah, you know that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out what the deal is.
So Lala, of course, Billy's like, well, you know, he doesn't date anybody, and then he tried to date everybody, and Lala's like, that's not my girl, bitch. That bitch is like, it's like, you're happy. You're a happy bitch, okay? And then she says one thing like that, and it crushes your bitch glass house. You know what I mean? Like, if you live in a bitch house, don't throw a glass at it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm all for pussy power, bitch.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't get the impression whatsoever that this squashed any of Billy's happiness. She was still like, I don't care. I just want to get fucked. Yeah, I think like, that she was, if anything, she was turned on.
So Lala's like, that. Those girls say things that aren't just mean. That, yeah, they affect people's life. They're squashing her excitement. So then Lala switches over. She's like, your tits are so good. They're so supple. She shoo 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 bee bee boo boo. Chipper chipper bee dee bee. And she's like, I cannot explain how much I love her. Great tits, and I know her pussy's bomb, too.
Well, she did have a catalog that she used, Lala. Be nice to Billy.
Now, why did they have to put her in a romper in this episode?
Did she get into a romper?
Yes, she was wearing a short romper.
Oh, God, of course. So, the show. Yeah. So, they're going through a whole, like, why don't you wear this thing? Why don't you wear this? And she was like, that's so cute. Oh my God, it's so cute. Like, Rob, don't you think she's cute? And also, do you love me, Rob?
Rob, don't you love me yet? Don't you love her outfit, me? Say it, Rob. Tell the outfit you love it. Say he's totally fine with saying he loves me.
Rob, do you think that Madison's going to like rompers?
He's like, I love
me. I love you too. I love you too, Rob.
Lala takes Billy on her first date with Jeremy to escort her.
Yeah.
And Lala's like, you know, it's like that, like, first date is like terrifying. You're like, is he gonna tip me? Is he gonna squash me? Is this gonna go well? Am I gonna end up behind a dumpster? This, or on the other side of the coin, he could be that building on the other side of the coin of Abraham Lincoln's face. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that first date, those jitters where it's like, are we going to have anything to talk about? Are we going to get into his PJ and go to a different city? Like, what's going to happen?
Lala's first dates. She's so, like, will he ask me if I accept Venmo? You know, it's just things that happen on a first date.
Will I miss my mama? I don't know. So Jeremy shows up. So Lala leaves and Jeremy's there. And Billy's all was saying how she was all nervous and, you know, because she was concerned, you know, because she's trans and there's stigmas and she doesn't want, like, Jeremy to feel uncomfortable, whatever. And he's like, you know, so fucking what? You're a woman now. You deserve to be acknowledged as a woman now, which is, like, super, like, progressive of him, which is pretty cool. Although he probably just wants to get some ass. but listen, it's still very progressive and I thought that was cool.
Well, it's a very progressive way to get ass. That, yeah, you know, so good for you.
Yeah,
and she's like, yeah, spice that up.
No, it was really nice.
I can't do it. I'm gonna have to listen to your Billy Lee.
I don't even know if mine's accurate. I just remember hearing like a lilting sound of like
I don't care because now it's in my head and I need to know how to do it.
How do you not know how to? It's the easiest thing of all time. Just go,
No, it's hard. Okay, so James is at his goal restaurant. It's called Royal. And his dad, it's like some like alcoholic smoothie place. And he's like, yeah. Which smoothie is the most popular? Orange? I'll do it with the shot on top.
Yeah. And then he's like, he orders this like slushy. And then his dad walks in and he tells the bartender, this is my dad. I'm like, I don't think she hears.
Well, just good, because you're in a Slurpee shop. Yeah. It'd be creepy if you were just here alone.
And so we learn, you know, because Boy George, I wrote down Boy George, I meant George Michael. George Michael was James's godfather, of course, and so he was present during the, I guess the, was it the christening or the baptism or whatever.
This was so sad, this story.
Yeah, basically George Michael spat on little baby James and was like, it was like, oh yeah, you take my skills with you, girl. That's what you do. Because you have got to have faith, the faith, the faith. You got to have faith, the faith, the faith in my skills. I'm like, whatever. He just came up with that story after the fact. After I was like, why'd you spit on my son? Why'd you spit on your godson? Why'd you do that? He's like, I was giving my talents. That's all.
Well, George probably said, I'm giving him what I have. Which is probably revenge for his dad, like, taking too much money off a commission or something. He's like, enjoy the flute, little brat.
So, now, you'll never know what freedom is anyway. Get it? It's my pun on my own two songs. Freedom 90 and Freedom. I'm Boy George. I mean, George Michael.
Boy George Michael George. The sad part was that James didn't even know that that was the real story. He's like, oh, yeah, he christened me and then spat on me. And his dad's like, oh, that was a good thing Lily did for you there. He spat on you to give you what he had. Like, this is the saddest day I've ever seen, okay? And then James is like, having George as a godfather is the reason I'm obsessed with being on the scene. I'm better in the east.
That's why I wrote a new song called Picked Up, Put Down. Don't get hurt when you're lost in the gong. You're going to get kicked up, put down. And Andros is like, all right, settle down there. Settle down.
Yeah. So that's where I got tick, tick, tick from stick and the stick and the tick, tick, tick on stick, stick, stick.
I've saved a vial of spit from George. I'm going to just pour a little bit on you, see if that works. It looks like not quite enough got through to you, little boy.
You know, the last time someone saved a vial like this, it killed Superman.
Unfortunately, when George Michael spat on you, he said, I'm giving you what I have. Unfortunately, the only thing you seem to get was his car keys. He has a Toyota. Think about it.
James tells us a sad story. I'm looking at the pub, living on top of the pub. So James starts telling his dad the sad story about the sad dad's demise. Dad's sad demise.
Dad was living large because George Michael was like the shit in the 80s. They had a huge mansion, but then as George Michael's career started to dwindle, so did Andros's career. That's what I took from it. And then it was like huge mansion to awesome apartment, and from awesome apartment to like apartment over the pub, because Andros never took on any other clients, I guess.
Yeah, and he was crying, and it made me feel bad for James. So I was like, have a couple of drinks and hit somebody so I can hate you again, because I don't really like feeling like this.
It was sad, but he also does use all that stuff as a crutch. Like, whenever he gets caught for bad behavior, he's like, he does what he does here. He's like, I struggled so much, girl. I struggled so much. Picked up, put down, never gonna get lost in the gong, girl. I struggled so much, girl.
And then, if I wasn't sad enough, it ends with James going, "Don't worry, Dad. I took care of the bill this time." I was like, "And you took care of it last time, and the time before, and the time before. Did you probably pay for his goddamn flight out here, too?" And then Andros goes, "Oh, get it next time. In London, huh?"
Yeah, it was actually very sad. Yeah, sad because James was really crying, and he's sad for his father, and he's sad that his parents are divorcing, and all that.
Fast forward.
Let's go back to Sir.
So, now, I wrote Adam Sir Bareback, and then when I saw that, I was like, Ronnie, they can't say that. Sorry, I rewound it. Because I was like, this show is, like super sexually proud and stuff, but surely they wouldn't write Adam Sir Bareback. Surely they wouldn't. And it wasn't. He was a barback.
Yeah, he's a barback. So we saw Lala's at the host stand. Adam is, handling glasses. And then Lisa Vanderpump is doing that thing where she walks around. She's like, "Is everything good over here? Everything good? Try the blackberry cobbler."
Very good. So she's telling Max and Stassi, which I can't believe Max was even on the show. Well, I'm so proud of him. He stopped moving enough to be on a scene, because all he does is move. He's like a little white fuzzy light of Max, moving every time you're there. The only one that works. So she's like, "What a big tip last night. $2,000. We must have done something right, eh?"
He's like, "Yes, Mum. I was adopted by you. Did it all right. I winked at you just the right time as a baby."
And Ariana's like, "Well, tonight's girls' night." And Vanderpump's like, "Why are you so angst-ridden?" "Well, my vagina's pissing me off. We're totally fighting with each other. Tom didn't even know that you're not supposed to shave at first. Wait, I'm bartending right now. There's another reason." She's like,
"I meant right now, Ariana. I don't need the list of your whole goddamn life."
Oh.
"Ariana, I would like a shot of tequila." "Okay. It's for you! Cheer up."
Peter's all deflated in the back. I thought that was special.
That was our little thing. No, Peter.
You know when Peter goes to take an order from a table? He's like, "Okay, tuna tartar. Not for me?
No.
Oh, God. Birthdays only come around once a year, I guess."
I thought it was a gift when Lisa did that, but it turns out it was a curse.
I'd like to send this dish back. He's like, "Oh my god, it's not even my birthday anymore, but I really appreciate it." Really, really. So Vanderpump's like, "How dare they talk badly about Jeremy Maddox? He saved the restaurant from burning down.
And she's the girl who sent me a letter that she's going to burn it down. The irony is rich, almost like the sticky toffee pudding at Villa Blanca. Get it? I changed it. You thought I'd say, sir."
So Jeremy is working outside.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a lunatic now.
I liked it, actually.
It's like 12:30. I'm like, I don't know. I'm making I'm changing sir with Villa Blanca. And this is supposed to pass as comedy on a podcast. Oh, yeah.
I was with you. I was giggling. Good. So Jeremy's outside bussing tables or whatever. And she's like,
"Hello, mister.
My little fireman. Creating fires, putting out fires. What are you up to? Are you watching The Apprentice? Getting fired? Get it?"
"Hello, my little Smokey the Bear. Now come here, my little Smokey Bear.
Smokey Bear.
I must say, I misjudged Jeremy in the past. He saved the restaurant. I just want to give him a few Domino's gift certificates to thank him for it."
You know that was $20. Jeremy was like,
"Hey, Jeremy, I hope you didn't lose any money trying to buy tickets to the Fire Festival. Get it?"
"Hey, Jeremy, how do you enjoy working in West Hollywood? Got some real flamers here. Get it?"
He's just like, flink, flink.
"Jeremy, flink. I know you always tell the truth because liar, liar, pants are on fire and your pants are not on fire because you're such a good fireman. You're honest and fireman."
What was her impression of him in the past? I don't like when she says that. I must say I misjudged him. Well, what did you judge him as? Please. Don't just
someone, who did not have, someone who did not have a basic instinct to put out a fire.
I always thought he'd be the sort of boy who would see a fire and just stand around. You know, like Kristen would have.
And he's kind of like, I always thought he would be the kind of boy to see a fire and tell it, eat a dick, Diana Fire.
So Ariana's fuming because shit was talked about. Stassi was talking shit about her brother. So Vala comes to pick her up and she's like, we're going to have fun, Ariana Shushu.
Shushu, meow meow. Meow meow meow. We have meow.
She's we're going to make a statement. And Ariana's like, a statement necklace? She's like, a statement like stop fucking with people's lives, dude.
So the Taco Bell Coven convenes at the Red Lion Tavern. So for people who don't live in Los Angeles, this is in Silver Lake. So already there is something afoot because these people do not go to Silver Lake. This is way too far past La Brea for them. You know, none
Isn't
of them
that
live over
Atwater?
There. No, Red Lion's on Glendale Boulevard in Silver Lake. Yeah.
Everybody's in a bad mood already, okay? That's an expensive poop.
Yeah, they were like, why do we have to shoot all the way in Silver Lake? Like, what's the point of this? Couldn't we have just gone to, like, Denny's? They're all there for Brittany, I guess. I feel like there was a reason why they were getting together that was never really established.
Girls' Night is Brittany is having some kind of girl power thing because she bought Jack's drums for his birthday. I don't know. This show makes no sense.
Yeah. So they're all there. It's like everyone, all the girls, full Taco Bell coven. Everyone's in attendance. And by the way, it's super cool or at least super funny, that Stassi posted about the Taco Bell Coven on her Instagram. We forgot to mention that.
Taco Bell Coven! So she's like, so how are your vaginas AF? And then we get to see clips of them all getting their badge rips. And Lala's like, if I had Sheena's labia, I would have chosen porn as a job. I'm like, what about your pussy made you choose hostessing?
It's very accommodating.
Yeah, she's like, my vagina really knows how to remember a table map.
It's not my fault. My vagina knows how to work a point of sales machine.
Have you ever seen my vagina answer a phone? It's amazing.
You know, the new machines that Sir don't recognize Sheena's fingernails, but they do work with my vagina.
So then they show Sheena getting her veg done. And, that's what we're talking about. So sorry. And they showed Ariana giving a little aside while Sheena was getting hers. She's like, the labia's the worst part. Like, stop fighting with your vagina. You're supposed to be at a party, okay?
Sheena's so like, Chris games! Like, anyway.
Games! Labia games!
I think I'll have one of each of the prime laser treatments.
So Kristen's like, survey says you have a good vagina. I'm like, great job, Louis Anderson. Glad you made it.
So Lala's like, listen, there's an elephant in the room, and I'm not talking about anyone's vagina, okay? It's a real elephant, although it's metaphorical. Stassi, man, I like you a lot, baby. Like, I'm this close to starting calling you Stassi. How you doing, Stassi? But I'm not there yet. I'm not there.
Stash.
She's like, why would you say to Billy before her date with Jeremy that you wanted to crush her soul and Jeremy was the rapist, creepy, starting things on fire? And Stassi's like, we literally said, go have fun. Like, I mean, after we called him a creep.
Yeah, we literally said, go have fun. You're going to have so much fun with that creepy, hairy version of Ariana. Yeah, you're going to have the best time if, like, hanging out with creepy people is your version of a best time, AF. Like, what's the problem?
I mean, you can't have a murder party and then say, like, suggest someone looks like a murderer. You know what I mean?
You also like, can't I love have... murder. Wait a minute. No, I don't. I changed my mind.
Yeah, you can't have a murder party and then, you know, accuse people of being creepy.
I know. Okay, so let's see here. So Sheena's like, that's not how Billy Ray said it. She sounded like she thought it was a murderer. And Stassi's like, I don't want to hurt anyone.
And she's like, crying. Good night. And she just leaves.
Yeah, Sheena's like, mine! I've got a date on the connection.
Okay, I've got 5 minutes to get to Rob's place because he gets there in 7 minutes. He's fast.
Okay, so Stassi is crying now, and Katie's like, I had numerous girls at my wedding say he was predatory, okay? I'm sorry, he was predatory. I remember the word because I pulled the pencil out of my tits and I wrote it down. Okay?
I remember the word because I was like, how is Jeremy an alien hunting them all down? Like, did they remember to hide in the mud? And they're like, no, predatory. I was like, oh.
I was like, don't bring Amos? Arnold Schwarzenegger into this, okay? This is already offensive enough to women.
Why would I pray to Tori Amos?
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tori Amos. In the Katie story.
At last. So
Ariana's like, if my eyes could wipe the skin off of her face, like, I would do it right now.
Ariana's like, I was hanging with my brother the entire wedding night. He was not being creepy. And Katie goes, maybe be an advocate for those who can't be an advocate for themselves right now. It's like hashtag ranch too. But you know, the thing is this that really bothers me is that, like, I am actually so torn in this situation, right? Because I feel like I believe Ariana, right? She has proven to be, like, a really solid judge of character. And especially with these things, I totally trust her. But if there's one thing that the Me Too movement has been about is that you're not really supposed to just, like, discount when people say, listen, someone, there was a guy who's being creepy and made me feel weird. It's about, like, being able to speak up. So I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah, but it's a little dangerous to just villainize everybody, especially when she's saying... especially when it's people who were just being criticized for going against the Me Too movement and being shitty. Yeah, about it.
I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean? this was before the Me Too movement. But I'm just saying, in the context of it, I'm like, I don't know what to say because, you know, like if someone was creeping on you at a if someone were creeping on you at a wedding and making you feel uncomfortable and, like, was not getting the hint, like, I'm not wanting this right now, it doesn't matter whether you're, like, you know, from the Taco Bell coven or not, like, it's really not appropriate and it's not cool. But at the same time, it's like, you know, but then, like, someone like Ariana and Tom, I believe, you know, that, I don't know, Jeremy put out a fire. I don't know. So that's why I'm, like, very torn in this situation.
Luckily, I'm not really torn. I mean, my feeling is it's not really this big of a deal. That's how I feel on both sides. Like, I'm not gonna like drag Me Too into it over this with Katie because Katie's just obviously.
Well, that's what made it
a petty swipe at Ariana because she's saying that's that Ariana's the social justice warrior. And if Ariana's always standing up for women, now she's not standing up for women. Katie, no one's accusing this guy of rape. You guys are even saying yourselves that you were saying it was no big deal. He was just creepy at a wedding and hitting on a lot of girls. So you can't.
Well, I will
have
say
both
this.
Ways.
What was funny was the dramatics that went along with saying, "I'm here to advocate for those who can't advocate for themselves." As if he'd murdered 10 people at this wedding. She's probably taking up their cause.
Jesus. Next, she's going to give a fucking monologue about ivory. Okay? Get on it, Katie. Stupid. I'm getting dragged into a Me Too discussion because of fucking Katie. If anybody has a Me Too on them in this episode, it's a bottle of ranch in her refrigerator. Okay?
So Lala goes up to Ariana, gets right in her face, says, they can say whatever they want. I admire you. Boo, 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 bee, 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 bee.
She's like, they are going to a place they can't come back. A face melting place. I'm like, well, that's not creepy. So it doesn't run in the family. She's Chris like, you are amazing. You are a star. And I love you. I'm like, yep.
So Ariana's like, I am leaving. Goodbye. This is real fun. I drove all the way out to Silver Lake for this bullshit. I didn't even get to have my German sausages yet. Bye, bitches. And Kristen's like, I literally have no idea what's happening. Like, seriously? Seriously?
And then Stassi's like, if she says something inflammatory about me, it's okay. But if something says something about her brother, it's not okay. I'm like, what don't you understand? She hates you, and you were talking Oscar so white.
Yeah. Now, in this situation, she still hates you, and you were calling her brother creepy on national TV. What's confusing? Honestly, do I really need to come down there?
So funny. Like, so truly and, funny.
It's just ridiculous. So Tom and Jax are talking. They're hanging out, and Jax has drums. Brittany has gotten him a new set of electric drums, and Jax is like, yeah, so it won't bug the neighbors. I'm like, first of all you do is scream at each other. You're already bugging the neighbors. And yeah. Second of all, it's bugging the neighbors. It's bugging my neighbors just listening to you have all these things.
I think probably the deep scent of wet sock that like rises up from your apartment to whoever's on the next floor above your place, that's probably the bigger problem, not like the banging on the drums.
Yeah, pooping in people's gas bills and then putting it back in their mailbox, like, that's probably annoying them more.
Having a production crew from Bravo, like, taking over parking spots and, like, in the hallways while you motor around on your little cooler with wheels, I think that's more of the problem.
Totally. Animal has more talent than you, okay? So Tom was like,
whoa, so Brittany sure did a lot for him on this birthday. She had a party for him at Hooters. She got him an electric drum kit. He's probably thinking, well, I should cheat again before my 39th birthday and see what I get then, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. Why is she buying him all this stuff? She should buy him one thing.
Why don't you be thankful for your guitar, sir, and be quiet? Jack stole that out of the Planet Hollywood display case for you.
Yeah, somewhere there's like a display of Mr. and one of them is just like holding nothing.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens later in the season where Tom just turns on Jax again for the season. Well, at least for the season, you know, because he's being so nice to Jax, but then all his talking heads are like super evil.
Yeah. Call him Jason. So Stassi and Kristen are at Katie's place, and they're like, there's some debate over whether or not they'll be casting spells or making perfumes. Either way, it just sounds like a really basic time.
Yeah, Tom's like, no witch stuff while I'm here.
Yeah.
So Stassi's like, if we're making perfume, you better have ranch smell and tequila, because that's all I want. What'd she say?
Ranch wine. Smell, she's like wine. I hope you have wine and ranch seasonings, because that's what's going into mine.
I want ranch smell and bandit. That's it, bitch. So Tom comes over and he's like, well, so yeah, why does it smell like ranch and fucking wine in here? Also feet and cheese. And also gerbils. It smells like gerbils. Not gerbils. The big gerbils. What are those called? They're like big gerbils. Guinea pigs.
Burbles.
So if you were a guinea pig and you were going to get your hair lasered, would you shave your vagina first or not? Just a hypothetical.
Hypothetical. They're like, what do you want, Tom? He's like, so, dude, like, I heard you've been talking about Jeremy, and he's, like, really awesome. Like, Lisa said he's a fireman now, so he's, like, kind of like a first responder. And so, like, what? Like, I don't know what, like, Jeremy's had to deal with, like, a lot of things. And Stassi's like, well, then he probably shouldn't act creepy.
I mean, Kristen, they're all trying to talk him down at first. Kristen's like, well, he was flirting and he was hitting on a lot of people. And then Katie goes, yeah, he went from girl to girl. And Kristen was like, I think I was the one who said he was creepy. And Stassi's like, no, that was me. And Kristen's like, yeah, she said creepy, but then I said that they should go to a public place. And Stassi's like, yeah, he shouldn't act creepy. Okay, so in all of that we just read, this is from their own quotes. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to start anybody on fire right now for this, jerks.
Yeah, yeah. But Tom starts yelling at them, and he's just like, he's mad that they're saying that he was acting creepy because he was like hitting on each woman and like Rachel O'Brien too, etc. And Sassy's like, well, was Tom there? No, he was playing a shitty trumpet solo. Showed him with his little trumpet. Actually, it wasn't a trumpet, it was a little horn.
This shit needs to stop right now. He's creepy. What do you want? Bullshit.
She's like, Stassi's like, you know what? I'm so sick of having to stand up for men.
Having to protect men. She just storms off to like a closet.
God, these people.
He's like, watch yourself. All of you, watch yourself. Because if you're going to make up lies about him, then I'm going to make up lies about you.
And Tom number two is like, oh, what do I do? It's between Katie and Tom. What's my partner in business? What's my partner in life? Let's face it, I really only get 2% of both homes, but
I'm just going to stand really still and hope I turn invisible. Oh, no, they can see my sandals. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have worn them.
I will say this really quickly. I'm a huge fan of Tom. I love Tom. I think he's great. I think he's a total sweetheart, but I didn't think it was that cool for him to yell at the women about the Jeremy stuff because, you know, Jeremy is, by all accounts, like in many ways, he's like a really awesome stand-up dude. You know, I think it was really cool that he asked Billy Lee out on a date. You know, he showed that was like a very progressive thing for him to do. He put out the fire. He's heroic. He's like, by all accounts, a good guy. But, you know, even good guys cross a line sometimes. And I'm not even saying that there was a huge line that was crossed. I just think that if these women felt like he was being inappropriate or coming on too strong, like it's not up for Tom to be like, no, you shouldn't have felt that way because he wasn't like that. It's like they experienced it, or at least they're saying it. And they weren't even really saying much beyond like he was just creepy. And that's like really not the biggest thing in the world. I think it's just that Billy Lee told Lala and Sheena, and then Lala and Sheena told Ariana. So by the time it gets to Ariana and Tom, it sounds like they're saying that he's like this huge perv that can't control himself and needs to be locked up in a cage. And I think it was just a huge game of telephone that was mixed up. And I think that like it was noble that Tom wanted to defend Ariana's brother, but it wasn't his place. And everyone just maybe needs to relax a little bit. So
Jax is beating the drum like a fucking idiot. I don't know how Brittany, what is wrong with her?
Lots and lots and lots of things. She's rewarding his good behavior, his bad behavior. I'm sorry. He does, this is, okay, fine, throw him a birthday party, but all this shit, drum set, and then like what looks to be a trip to Cabo next week or Mexico. No.
So Brittany's doing what Brittany does, you know. She's just like, well, I'm just sitting around listening to my boyfriend bang on shit and annoy everybody within a 5-mile radius. I think I'll call my dad and tell him about how Jax cheated on me. What?
Yeah. So she's like, hi, Dad, what's you been up to? He's like, I'm picking blackberries, going to make a cobbler. I'm like, is this the theme of the episode, blackberry cobbler?
Try the blackberry cobblers imported from Kentucky.
Off the menu, dead to me.
And so we have things we like to call specials. They're something that truly keep the menu feeling special. Do you understand? So, for instance, our blackberry cobbler is in, and it is a special.
Oh, by the way, I have to mention this. This was so cool. Remember last week when we were talking about Mila Kunis, how she didn't fill in the gap at Squirrel? Mm-hmm. Squirrel tweeted at us and was like, sorry about the gap. And then they tweeted and said that they like to think that their ricotta, their toast with ricotta, which is like their famous dish, is like their nod to Lisa Vanderpump's goat cheese balls at Sir, and they called themselves hashtag LVP of the East Side. I was like, I cannot believe the people at Squirrel watch Vanderpump Rules. Like, Squirrel is like elevated, like considered one of the best restaurants in LA, and they watch Vanderpump Rules too. I love this show. It brings people together.
Lisa Vanderpump is going to be mortified. What is this, East Side? Do you remember when she had to take Max to Hollywood and she almost shit on the floor? She's like, where am I? What is this, Hollywood? So Lisa's like, oh, we've no longer served blackberry cobbler. Now we serve pumpberry cobbler. Pumpberry. Carry on, Joe. Tom's like, whoa, did it again. She just did it again. She does this whole cheat thing, and the dad's like, not shocked, he's a pig, what the fuck do you expect, he has no self-control. And she's like, oh, Meemaw didn't find out. Did Meemaw change her phone number, because she's not answering like me? I tried her 5 times this morning.
You know, what the dad said, that like doesn't surprise me, he's that type, he can't help himself, he has no control. Like, I liked that he wasn't like, oh, give another shot, but at the same time, it's like that sort of language, it really kind of, I don't know how to articulate it, you know, like, oh, he's that type, can't control himself. It's like, oh, you're the one. It's like, on the one hand, she is the one. Like, we say this all the time. Like, he's just a pig. He's a pig through and through, you know? But at the same time, it also kind of, like, gets him off the hook, right? It's like, well, that's just the way he's going to be.
It's an illness, Ben. It's an illness, okay? He's got a real problem. He's had a really tough life, Ben, okay? Right. So he gets to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it is on these fucking shows.
So Jax overheard the conversation because he was somehow in between his very intense whiplash level drumming, he heard this conversation. So he comes in, he's like, "So, what were you telling your dad?" She's like, "Well, I told my dad that you cheated on me and everything." And he's like, "I'm more upset, not that you told your dad, but that you're airing out our dirty laundry." I'm like, you know what? This is like, I hate that. That's like trying to control it, trying to keep it in the couple. And then the very first thing he does next is say, well, first she's like, "Promise you'll never do anything like this again." He goes, "Of course, I'll never do anything like this again. And by the way, you're not perfect either."
Yeah, it's like there's a reason they called you Brittany when you were young. I mean, whatever. I can't feel for her. You just bought him drums and gave him a birthday party, and then you called your dad. Shut up with this. And Jax is like, he's mad that they're airing our dirty laundry. You know who says that? People who don't do their laundry.
Yeah.
Do your laundry.
Yeah. Have clean laundry, and then it can be aired out and be lovely.
Yes.
So, I aired our clean laundry again. He's like, damn it.
Do you want to say anything else about this scene?
No, I think I'm done ranting about that scene. I think I've ranted about it enough. And just
yeah, over it's like the every season. Week is the same
every
thing.
Every week,
she's
I'm like,
"Jax, you're not going to cheat on me again, are you?"
He's like, "No, absolutely not. Just let me. Just as soon as I'm done cheating on you with Faith again."
Good night, John boy. Good night, Mama. Good night, Mama. Good night, Jax. You're not going to cheat on me again, are you?
Turn off your lights, Brittany. Go to bed.
So now over at some bar, Lala, Sheena, and Ariana have gotten together, and Sheena is actively plotting to get Brittany away from Jax and with Adam. She's doing some sort of like Jane Austen meddler sort of role. And I like when Sheena says that, she's like, "You know, I've known Jax a long time, and he's not like some tortured soul that just needs to be fixed. He's just like a dick, okay?" I was like, "Thank you, Sheena. Thank you."
So, her big plan is to get Brittany to dress up in her best denim off the shoulder Naomi costume from Mama's Family, and have her charm the ever barebacky Adam. So the guys come over, and Sheena is just so obvious at what she's doing. She's like, "Yeah, but like Brittany, you're like hot as fuck, and there's other guys in the sea, you know? I'm like, maybe they'll drown, maybe they won't. Maybe a boat will come get them, maybe it won't. Who knows? Like, will the boat love them? I don't know. They'll feel it though if it does, right?" And Lala's like, "Shishu, I think what you want to say is that you want her to feel like she doesn't need to be with Jax. She wants to be with Jax. Is that what you mean?" She's like, "Yeah, totally. Can't wait to break them up. Exactly what I said."
So Brittany comes in, and then Adam's not long after, and Adam's like sitting there flirting with Brittany and everything, and you know, Sheena's like very happy about it. She's like, "Hey Adam, so how long did it take you to mount a television? 8 minutes?" He's like, "Actually 6 minutes. Get out. Leave this bar at once."
I'm getting him fired. Okay, next freak. Focus, Sheena, focus.
So, notice that Brittany's also wearing her off-the-shoulder sweater like Lala. You know, Brittany really does know how to make a friend. She's like,
"It's a night with Lala. I'm going to wear my sweater around my elbows."
Well, you know, the thing is, and so there, Adam is being really flirty with her, like a lot of like body contact and jokiness, and she's lapping it up. She's like, "Jax would be so jealous if he knew what was going on. Jax hates it when I'm like around other men." Which, of course, just like feeds into this whole idea that Jax is like an emotionally abusive, controlling asshole. But also, what sucks is that Brittany is revealing herself, unsurprisingly, to be probably one of these people who's like, "I'm going to get him all jealous." I mean, that's like her power move. That's how she feels like she has the power. And then that, you know, then they'll just have like crazy
sex. Yeah, she totally starts flirting with it.
She's like, "Jax hates it when I flirt. Blank, blank, blank. How many kids you had at prom?"
You know, it's like, "Oh, Brittany, you're just so adorable." So she's like,
"Well, I'm just ordering salad because I've just been trying so hard."
And he's like, "You can have something else." She goes, "But salad is what I need." And he goes, "It's okay. You're pretty." I was like, "Oh, well, there's another Jax. Put this one in the queue."
Yeah, exactly. So Sheena pulls Brittany aside, and she's like, "I just want you to know that Jax is shit. He's just like pure shit." And Brittany's like, "But I love him." I was like, okay, this is hopeless.
I just can't throw all that away. And she was like, oh, really? Because you put 2 years in, so now you have to stay? Like, you put all that work in, now you're supposed to stay and, like, work it out? I mean, look, you want to be me, 34, divorced, no progress, and cool. 4 years later, whoa, I need to start over. You know what I mean? Like, I know what it's like to wake up and lie to yourself every day, and I don't want her doing the same thing like I did this morning.
Sheena's most, like, self-aware moment in the past 6 years. I've never heard her be so like, momentarily, like, in touch with what's going on with her life. It was kind of shocking. Because
she's blaming it all on Shay, you see? It's not today that she's being completely delusional and trying to talk herself into staying with somebody that's not happening. It's the past. It's Shay.
And Brittany's like, my brain and my heart fight each other every day. It's like that Mike Tyson punch out game, and like my heart's like that little guy, and like my brain is like that tall guy from Russia, and you have to like duck every time he swings, and then all of a sudden the heart's like boom, 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 and the next thing you know, you see your heart running on the streets of Philadelphia, and then you're running by the coach on the streets, and then like guess what? Your heart has to feed another brain, and you're going up against another brain, another brain, another brain, and then finally your heart wins the whole thing, and oh my god, my heart won.
I mean, that was a good movie, and I can take it when they fight. But when my elbow started fighting with my knee, now there's a story. Sheena's like, okay, gotta go.
Check, please.
Check, place. And that was the end of that.
We did it.
We did it. So another fun episode of Vanderpump Rules in the books for an exquisite season. I think that's pretty much it for the episode today. It's just it's Tuesday, you know.
See you next Tuesday, everybody. We will be here tomorrow with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Should be a good one. And stay tuned because we'll make an announcement about what we're going to cover at the Detroit show. But buy those tickets in the meantime. Don't wait for us. Go get those tickets. Act
we
first,
will be
think
covering
later.
Something.
Yeah, we'll cover something. You know,
all right, everybody.
Good stuff.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.